You're listening to Cross the Border. We're going to jump back into Ezekiel here. We're in chapter 45, about the middle of the chapter. I'm going to read the opening. Verse 1, "Moreover, when you shall divide by lot the land for inheritance, you shall offer an oblation unto Yahuwah, a holy portion of the land. The length shall be of 25,000 reeds, and the breadth shall be 10,000. This shall be holy in all the borders round about." So when the children of Israel came into the promised land after crossing over from their 40 years in the desert, they divided the land by lot. Then, now there's a 70 years desolation. They're going to come back into the land after that time period, and they're going to they're going to divide the land by lot again. There is the myth of the lost tribes, of Israel, the lost tribes myth, and that's a myth, because when they came back into the land, there were representatives there from every tribe, and they divided the land by lot, okay, after the 70 years desolation. And I'm sure that if any were left there in the land, that their property rights were honored, though that's not important for a discussion here. Because, and the reason I mention that is because property rights were very important to our Heavenly Father. He wrote them into His law when He said, "Thou shalt not steal." That means you have the right to own and hold property during your lifetime, during your mortal existence here, and you should be secure in that property right. So we left off there at, let me get to my bookmark here, chapter 45 and verse 17. Now we're into the speaking of the things pertaining to the temple when it shall be built. And it shall be the prince's part. And of course, the prince there is the prince is referring to a king. Let me see what we got here. Nasi, an exalted one, the king, or a sheikh. Okay, so that's there's many different words that are translated as prince, but here this is referring specifically to the king of Israel, because Israel would have a line of kings from this time toward, and the king would have his part, we see here in the temple, as we discussed. That's different from when the priest temple sacrifice system was given to the children of Israel in the wilderness, because there was no king except the Almighty Himself. He was their king. But they said, "We want a king like the other nations." Now they have a king, and the Heavenly Father promised David that a king, the King of Kings, would descend. That is, the Messiah, the Redeemer of mankind, would descend from him, and he would sit on the throne forever. So we have this difference in instruction here. It shall be the prince's, or the king's, part to give burnt offerings and meat offerings and drink offerings in the feasts. So that's his place, in the feasts and in the new moons and in the Sabbaths. In all the solemnities of the house of Israel, he shall prepare the sin offering and the meat offering and the burnt offering and the peace offerings to make reconciliation for the house of Israel. This is different than what the king did before. Okay, the kings went out and fought the wars, and they had blood on their hands, but this was different. Now the king, this is a looking forward to the Messiah, the King of Kings. So now the king has a place. And something else you'll notice here is talking about in the feasts, in the new moons, and in the Sabbaths, in all the solemnities of the house of Israel. Now, I have a page, which you should go to later, on my website. It's called "What Month Is It?" And that shows you the calendar that the Heavenly Father gave to the children of Israel in the desert there. And what we found out, as here, as we did there, is that the new moons and the Sabbaths are in the same column, because they're the same class of day. The new moons and the Sabbaths, you'll see them always mentioned together. And also the high Sabbaths were Sabbaths. they always fell on the Sabbath day, according to his calendar. If you use that calendar that I've illustrated there from the word of our Heavenly Father, the calendar that he gave the children of Israel, you'll find that all the high Sabbaths fell. Otherwise, they wouldn't be called Sabbaths, because Sabbath means seventh. Okay? So all of the high Sabbaths fell on Sabbath days. That's right. They fell on the Sabbath. So that's why they were called high Sabbaths. There were ordinary Sabbaths, which was most of the year, and then you had high Sabbaths. And so take a look at that when you get a chance. The prince's part, the king's part, to give burnt offerings and to make reconciliation for the house of Israel. Verse 18, thus saith Adonai, Yahweh, the Lord God, in the authorized King James Version. You see a little different pronunciation there of the name of the Creator. It's the 3069. In the first month of the first day of the month, you shall take a young bullock without blemish and cleanse the sanctuary. Now, this is important when it gets to prophecy, okay? Because Daniel gave a prophecy, and it was about the cleansing of the sanctuary, and it was the 2300 days prophecy. And you'll see here the first day of the first month. That was Abib or Aviv 1. That was a new moon day. It was the first day of the month. The new moon and Abib. That's what he said. When you have a new moon and Abib, that this is the beginning of months to you. That's pretty close to what it exactly says in the authorized version there. So the priest shall take and cleanse the... Yeah, right, here it is. Verse 18, thou... In the first month, in the first day of the month, you shall take a young bullock without blemish and cleanse the sanctuary. Now, the 2300 days prophecy said 2300 days to the cleansing of the sanctuary. And then you jump to Ezra chapter 6, and you find, guess what? It was the month of Adar. That's the last month, or the last moon cycle of their year, that the temple was completed. And so that was about 6.4 years after Daniel was given the prophecy, a literal 2300 days fulfilled. It's not 2300 years. In this case, when it says days, it means days, because it was completely fulfilled. So we have the cleansing of the sanctuary. So I have Ezekiel here telling about the cleansing of the sanctuary. We have Daniel saying 2300 days to the cleansing of the sanctuary. It's the same event. Okay. This is them coming out of the 70 years desolation, which Ezekiel is in, and coming to that point. And at that point, these two prophecies converge together. This one here and that one there. This one an instruction, meaning that it is prophetic because it hadn't happened yet. It's instruction of what they're going to do when they come out of the desolations, the 70 years desolation, and the temple's rebuilt. So in the month of Adar, they finished the temple, the house of the Almighty. And of course, here's the first thing they do on the first day of the month. They take a young bullock without blemish and they cleanse the sanctuary. All right? That's it. That settles that. I've got two witnesses that agree. And then we have history that agrees, because guess what? It actually did happen. Mm-hmm. It didn't happen in the heaven or in some imaginary place. It really happened on earth. They did rebuild the temple, and these were their instructions, and I have to believe that they actually followed them. So that settles that for me. Verse 19, and the priest shall take the blood of the sin offering and put it upon the posts of the house and upon the four corners of the settle of the altar and upon the posts of the gate of the inner court. And so thou shalt do the seventh day for everyone that erreth, and for him that is simple, so shall you reconcile the house. And in the first month, the 14th day of the month, you shall have the Passover feast of 7 days. See, this is the first month of every year they have Passover according to the moon. And guess what? They still do it today according to the moon. They still have Passover, and they still have all of their high Sabbaths according to the moon, But then they have, then they follow the Roman Gregorian, you know, our Lord God, the Pope, Most Holy Father's calendar, the Gregorian calendar, and for their regular Sabbaths. And so they don't coincide because their high Sabbaths don't fall on the Pope's Sabbaths. So people now don't believe that the children of Israel really kept the calendar that is in the scripture. They believe they kept Saturday forever, all the way back through history. That's kind of short-sighted, but, you know, that's what people believed. And I learned that, too. And then when I started to question it, someone answered me and said, oh, yeah, they've been keeping the same Sabbath every Saturday for 7 days a cycle immemorial. Well, upon further study and many years later, I found something else in the scripture. Something else. And there it is. You can go to my website, crosstheborder.org, and look in the right-hand column. You'll find a post entitled, What Moonth, that's M-O-O-N-T-H, as in moon, and that's the root of the word month, is moon. So it's what moonth is it? And that's the calendar that the Creator gave us in the scripture. So you might want to check that out. And you know, I'm not a Seventh-day Adventist, and I am not a legalist trying to lay burdens on people. I am into Bible studies, biblical studies, and so I study the scripture and I find out what's there. I'm not one that says you have to keep this the correct Sabbath day or you're going to go to hell. You know, there are those out there, you know, there are cults out there, and then there are even some that call themselves believers that believe that, and they may be and they may not be. You know, let every man live and do according to his own conscience. That's what I say. I have no agenda. I believe that people can keep Saturday and according to their own conscience, that they're keeping the Sabbath and obeying the Heavenly Father because that's what they believe. Some people could be saved and be going to church on Sunday because that's what they believe in their heart, in the integrity of their mind and their heart, which the Heavenly Father judges the heart and the intents of the heart. They're being obedient to Him, even though they're in error on that point. It matters not. I'm not their judge. I'm just studying the scripture here. And you can do with it what you will. I mean, a lot of people ought to argue with me, but I don't need to argue. You know, if you need to feel good about going to church on Saturday or Sunday, that's fine with me. You know, I'm all for it. You know, if your knowledge and it changes and you feel like you need to start keeping his commandment to the letter and you discover that, you know, there's the Sabbath that he gives in the scripture is different than the one on the Pope's Gregorian calendar, and you feel like you have to do that, well, that's good. You know, if you believe it pleases him and you want to live your life to please him and you want to do that, then I'm all for it. I'm not here to judge anybody. I'm just here to study the scripture and find out the truth of his word. That's my agenda, the truth of his word, so that I can learn how to please him to the best of my ability. And so, you know, I know that there are problems too when you understand something like this and you'd like to do that, but the whole world is running on a different calendar than his, it becomes a little difficult. Some of you may have to work on the Sabbath. And, well, the Heavenly Father allows for that. Yeah, he does. He said that you're allowed to pull your ox out of a ditch on the Sabbath. Mm-hmm. But how many of you have an ox? Well, so you say, well, I don't have an ox, so I guess I can't work on the Sabbath because my ox isn't in a ditch. But if we apply the word circumspectly, you know, if we look for what that illustration represents, the ox in the ditch means that if your ox is in the ditch, it's going to die if you don't pull it out of the Sabbath. And if your ox dies, then you can't hook it up to the mill and grind out your corn, which means you can't eat or sell your grain so that you can feed your family and live. So you see, your ox can be in a ditch. Now, once you learn that and you find out while you're working on his Sabbath, you may not have any choice but to work on his Sabbath for the rest of your life. You may have an agreement. You may be owned, a slave, where you have to work on the Sabbath for the rest of your life. Because otherwise, your ox is in a ditch and it's going to die. I don't know. See, I can't make that judgment. That's between you and the Almighty. Now, if you can, you might want to work on getting into a position where you're free to completely keep his word to the letter. But that's, again, that's between you and the Almighty. Even, what did the Messiah said? He said, even the priests profane. That was the word. That's how they translate it in the Authorized King James Version when he was discussing the Sabbath with his accusers who were accusing him of breaking the Sabbath. He said, even the priests profane the Sabbath in the temple on the Sabbath and are blameless. Oh, yeah, think about that. Think about that for a while. So, anyway, there you have it. And I better jump back into this thing or we're not going to finish it up today. So, check it out, crosstheborder.org. That's my website. Check out that and all of the other postings there. As a matter of fact, while you're over there, go to my comment page and leave a comment. Say, hi, how you doing, Nicholas? Hope everything is well. I'm enjoying your teaching, or I think you're a fraud and because of this or that, and you know, give me some scripture verses, or tell me I'm, you know, off my rock, or whatever you want. Just go there and let me know you're listening, and try to say something nice anyway. That would be it would be good to hear from people that are being edified by the teaching here. Crosstheborder.org, and do check out that page on what month it is. And read some of the comments there where I answer a lot of these questions and I say some of the things I just said now in the comments section there. And if you have a comment about a page, try to answer on the appropriate page. You know, that always helps because I find that people will go off the wall and they'll put like long dissertations on about one thing on a different topic. Kind of helps if we can keep things organized. That way everybody can be edified, even by your comments and questions. That's why I like to keep it everything on its page there, and so that everyone else can be edified there too. We better jump back in, getting through the instructions with the several differences, including the king in the priest temple sacrifice service that will be restored after the children of Israel come pass through the 70-year desolations. In the first month, the 14th day of the month, you shall have the Passover feast 7 days unleavened bread, and that's the days of unleavened bread, shall be eaten, and upon that day shall the prince, the king, prepare for himself and for all the people of the land a bullock for a sin offering, and 7 days of the feast shall prepare a burnt offering to Yahuwah, 7 bullocks and 7 rams without blemish daily in the 7 days, and a kid of the goats daily for a sin offering. And he shall prepare a meat offering and an ephah for a bullock and an ephah for a ram and a hin of oil for an ephah. In the 7th month, in the 15th day of the month, now the 15th was a Sabbath according to the month calendar. You'll see there on my website in the posting, what month is it? So this is the 7th month. In the 15th day of the month, shall he do like in the feast of the 7 days according to the sin offering, according to a burnt offering. See, that 7th month, 15th day was a high Sabbath, okay? And that's where we get the high Sabbath. And they fell on a regular Sabbath, which they don't do now because now the regular Sabbaths are the Pope's Saturday Sabbaths, but they still keep the high Sabbaths according to the month, the monthly calendar. So they actually do fall, if they are following the right proper month or month calendar for the high Sabbaths actually do fall on his Sabbath days. So we can notice these. Once we understand the calendar, when we go through the Old Testament and things like this, then we understand and we see these things plainly. So the 7th month, the 15th day of the month, he shall do like the feast of the 7th days, which is in the first month, according to the sin offering, according to the burnt offering, according to the meat offering, and according to the oil. Chapter 46, verse 1. Thus saith Adonai, the Lord, that's Adonai is Lord in Hebrew. Thus saith Adonai Yahweh, that variation on the name in the Hebrew, not the 3068, which is the one normally people think about when they think about the Tetragrammaton. This is the 3069. So, thus saith Adonai Yahweh, the gate of the inner court that looketh toward the east shall be shut the 6 working days, but on the Sabbath it shall be opened, and in the day of the new moon it shall be opened. Now, this makes perfect sense when you're looking at the correct calendar. You see, the new moon and the Sabbaths are in the same column. The 6 working days are in the other 6 columns. Now, this would be so much easier if we had an authority like the children of Israel had at their capital, which was Jerusalem, and the authority were the lawyers or the priests, the learned ones of the law of the Almighty. And they would proclaim, you know, they would set the Sabbath days and the new moon, and everyone would follow them because that was their position. And everyone would know what the Sabbath was. But see, now today we have a different calendar giver. We have a different law giver. You know, whoever is in charge of the calendar. In Israel, the law of God was in charge, and the priests followed the law of God, so they followed his calendar. But now today we have a different law and a different God. It is in the year of our Lord God, the Pope. I hate even saying that, but that's what it means when people go in the year of our Lord and they say 2007. Now, some people mean in the year of our Lord Jesus Christ, but that's a misunderstanding. That's an error. And I'm glad for them that they have that and they really believe that because they're not worshiping the Pope. But actually, what you say when you say in the year of our Lord God, what they really mean, those that follow him, and to him, he is their most holy father. In the year of our Lord God, the Pope, of the father and owner of the Gregorian calendar. Yes, the head of the beast, the Vatican. And then there's the man who is the mouth of the beast, and they call him the Pope, whoever he is at the time. He's the mouth of the beast, and he is the mouth that is on that head. And the head is the head of the Roman Empire in whatever form it is in current time in history. So you follow his calendar, but our Heavenly Father has a different calendar. When the Messiah returns, I know which calendar we're going to be on because he already gave it to us. This is the one. During the millennial reign of Christ, this is the calendar that we will be following, because we're still going to have the same earth and the same moon, the new heaven and new earth. That's not for another 1,000 years till after the Messiah returns, but after his millennial reign, we'll have a new heaven and new earth. So I don't know what's going to happen then. I don't have those details. You know, the details are pretty scanty on that, but I know it's going to be pretty good. I think I'm going to be very happy. I think I'm just going to be very happy during the millennial reign of Christ just to see the most perfect government that mortal men can have on earth with the King of Kings sitting there in Jerusalem. And we're going to be following his calendar, not the Gregorian, the Pope's calendar that sits over there in the capital city of the Antichrist, the Vatican. So we'll have his calendar. So there we have it. But on the Sabbath it shall be open, and in the day of the new moon it shall be open. And the prince, that is the king, shall enter by the way of the porch of that gate without, and shall stand by the post of the gate, and the priests shall prepare his burnt offering and his peace offerings, and he shall worship at the threshold of the gate. Then he shall go forth, but the gate shall not be shut until the evening. Likewise, the people of the land shall worship at the door of this gate before Yahuwah in the Sabbaths and in the new moons, and the burnt offering that the prince shall offer unto Yahuwah in the Sabbath day shall be 6 lambs without blemish and a ram without blemish, and the meat offering shall be an ephah for a ram. And we'll pick up here when we get back. You're listening to Cross the Border. Like I said, my website is crosstheborder.org. We'll be back in a few minutes, so please don't go anywhere.